Thank you for dropping your anchor with HarborCast, as our Harbor family continues to glorify and enjoy God together. You ask the questions, and now we look forward to getting to know Him better through Scripture and Christ-centered interpretation.
Well, welcome again to another episode of HarborCast, the official podcast of Harbor Church in Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm back with my good friend and ruling elder, Jim Aldridge, and we're talking through the Songs of Ascent during this Easter season, and we come to a personal favorite of mine.
Yeah. Give us your, you've got some history with this psalm, or it's got some history with you.
So. Yeah, that's probably the second one is probably more accurate.
Well, do tell.
Yeah, so I kind of go back to, became a Christian really, of course it's a little more complicated than that, but really, really became a Christian, I would say, in college. And I remember taking a number of philosophy classes, and I was still kind of young in my faith, so I was really struggling. I'd come out of, when I was in middle school, particularly in high school, I was really enamored with relativism and postmodernism, and so you know, there is no ultimate truth and those sorts of things.
Right.
And so this is, I was really struggling with all these highfalutin ideas that I was trying to understand, and how that met with my faith, and how do I really know even what the text is saying, if it's true or not, and. This psalm just hit me like a ton of bricks. It is a tiny psalm. It's not the smallest, but it's pretty close. This is, David wrote this. It's a Song of Ascent of David. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, that have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Mm. And this is the first psalm that I ever memorized, because I said, I don't just need to know this. I need this thing etched in my heart. I need to take this wherever I go. And for me, it was that I don't occupy myself with things too great or too marvelous for me. I love to use that if you're a Harbor member, and if you've gone to a new members class, you'll know the greatest diagram of your entire life.
I wish I had a dry erase board.
Yeah, that's right. It's a Van Til diagram, but it's basically a horizontal line with an arrow going down, and that horizontal line represents the distinction between God and us. Mm-hmm. That there's a gulf between us and God, and God is so different from us that the arrow can't go up. That's what every other religion promises, is that through meditation, through yoga, through obedience to Mormon law, whatever it is, somehow we can go cross that line and know the secrets of the universe and God's mind and whatever. But the Bible says, no, God's way bigger than that. You can't, by your very creatureliness, get there.
Right.
So there are going to be things too great, too marvelous for you or for me to truly understand. And he says, I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. A weaned child has ceased to have milk and is now eating solid food. And if you're a parent, you know there are a lot of hard transitions when it goes from milk to solid food. But there is a big difference, is that oftentimes sleep comes easier because it's more solid, takes a lot more for the body to digest. And so David doesn't find calm or quiet in knowing all the answers. He finds calm and quiet in not raising his eyes too high. It reminds me, a few weeks ago we talked about, I lift my eyes up to the Lord. I lift my eyes up to the hills. But here, his eyes are not raised too high. He's not raising his eyes so high that he thinks that he can get on God's level.
Right. It's not an arrogance or a pride. In fact, he's very much fighting. He's rejecting his own pride. Yep. This is a psalm of things to do.
Mm. Yeah.
In a sense.
Right.
And we look down and talk down on, or we can talk down on the things that we have to do. We don't always lean into disciplines like we should, because we are afraid of falling into legalism or something
else.
Right.
Yep.
And this psalm is about not actively occupying ourselves with things too marvelous, too great and too marvelous for us, and for calming and quieting our souls. I mean, again, when we talked about this a few weeks ago, we do that. The Lord empowers us to do that by His Spirit. But there are things that we can and must do to quiet our own hearts.
Yeah. What do you think that looks like? Or where have you found quiet for your soul?
I mean, I think my biggest beef with me is that I'm so absorbed with me most of the time.
Yeah.
And there can be terrific racket and noise. There can be a noisiness in my own heart and in my own mind of just the things to do, or the things I've done wrong, or the noise of life around me. I think it was David Pallison that said it's okay to have a busy life. It's insane to have a busy soul. So, I mean, the discipline for me has included, and it takes. It's. Not, I wish I could say that I've had this one nailed down for a long time. But it's. I think it's a lifetime. Probably is for all of us a lifetime process of. Being very prayerful, and working to be quiet, and abiding in the Word, and meditating on my in Christness.
Yeah.
Which I haven't always. The more I think about the reality of our union with Christ, our being in Christ, which Paul, that term is used about over 100 times. In Paul's letters, in Christ. The term Christian maybe is used 3 times in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. But in Christ, that was Paul's focus. We are in Christ. We have an identity, a new identity. So focusing on that and on Christ himself, who brings that new identity to us, that greatly can calm our souls.
Yeah, and I think you're spot on. What you're really describing is go back to Christ. Right? Like, he's the only one who says, take my yoke upon me, right? Upon you, and learn from me, right? Because I am gentle and lowly.
Yeah.
I think that's the underlying message to this, too. He's calmed and quieted his soul like a weaned child. Well, what food is he eating? Other than, the only answer I have, if I'm comparing it to other places in Scripture, is it's God, it's Christ. Right? That's the satisfaction of his soul. And I think that, as a pastor, I've been asked at times some really hard questions. I've been asked, where is my family member in hell or not? I've been asked, what was God doing before he created the world, right? Which I love Augustine's quip about when one of his snarky students asked him that trip Augustine up, Augustine said, thinking of a hell for people like you who ask those dumb questions, right? I wouldn't say that. You see it too, right? As an elder, as a husband, as a father, you can ask questions sometimes you don't have the answer. And it is tempting to think, if I just knew, if I just had an answer to this, then I would find solace, right? If I just knew where my cousin was in heaven or hell, or if I just knew, how things would turn out with this person or this situation, well, then I could just relax. I don't see that that's what David's getting at. Because if there's... Perhaps that thing is too great and too marvelous for me. Perhaps I wouldn't even understand the answer even if I got it. The ultimate thing that we need is not more knowledge. I think we've kind of seen that in the Sunday school class on Gnosticism, right? It's not more knowledge, it's more Christ.
And for short as this psalm is, and for the truths we have just talked about, as Spurgeon says, it's one of the shortest psalms to read and one of the longest to learn.
Oh, man.
Eugene Peterson talks about the title of his book on the Psalms of Ascent is A Long Obedience
in the same direction.
This is a process. Mm-hmm. I have to fight the continual desire to find that one thing, that discipline, or that one act, or that one thought, or that one the one thing I can do or think about that's going to suddenly bring
unlock
quiet.
Everything. Yep.
Unlock all the doors and bring quiet and peace. It doesn't work that way. It is a process, and it seems like a terrible thing to say to someone who's in under duress. And sometimes the right thing to say is nothing. Mm-hmm. But it seems kind of callous or trite or Hallmarky to say, "Well, you just need to meditate on Christ,
for
who is our hope."
A few months. Maybe a couple years.
Yeah. That would be the wrong thing to say to somebody who is suffering.
But it's true.
But there is a right time. Yeah. There is a right time to say that and to come alongside someone who is struggling with the discipline of clinging and of weaning and of someone who's struggling with occupying themselves with things that they're not going to get on top of it.
Yeah.
There is a time to come alongside that brother or sister or child or spouse, or to have someone come alongside you and say, I've got something better. Let me share this with you. This is going to take a while, but let's talk through this.
Yeah. It reminds me, you could probably speak to this. I mean, as a nurse, right? How many afflictions do you see or have you seen where the solution would take about 5 to 10 minutes, and then everything is back to normal? I'd have to imagine that's probably 1% of the time.
Probably less.
Even less than that, right? Yeah. Even if it's somebody like, well, you got a sinus infection, here's a Z-Pack. Well, it's 5 days. You know, you still got to wait a little while, right?
That's right.
You got a broken leg. Guess what?
Right.
No matter what you do, no matter how hard you work, the bone's just got to heal, and that's just going to take time.
Yeah.
And, in a world where there is no God, that just looks like acceptance of a process that is out of your hands. And I think somebody who's secular might be able to find a little bit of comfort in that, I guess. But we have a God who's actually in charge of all that. So it's not so much trust the process, but trust the one who is in charge of all things.
Right.
Right.
And it's going to be a struggle. I mean, it truly is a struggle. We know this because it's a struggle for us personally. We see it a struggle with the people around us. That when a child is weaning, we see this, man, there are so many babies in Harbor Church right
now. There's a lot of babies.
I love it. And we're getting to watch them. They're sort of all staggered in age. So we've just gotten to watch baby Roy wean to a great degree, at least in the Sunday morning service.
Right. A
baby fights weaning tooth and nail. You talked about earlier in this podcast, you know, it's a fight. Now, eventually the child weans, but it is not without struggle. And we all struggle with settling into peace not with, but in God. At times.
Yeah.
I'm just going to fight it.
Yeah.
Just because I still have a clinging sin nature.
Yeah.
I guess is the ultimate reason.
And I think that's a really good point. And I think particularly you going back to the church is really helpful too, because I think that's what this psalm does. Verse 3 feels like it's completely out of context. It seems like verse 1 and 2 should just be the rest of the psalm, right? Like a weaned child is my soul within me.
It's very personal.
Done.
Right.
Very personal. It is my eyes.
Yep.
But then, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Yep. It doesn't make sense unless you remember, and I think I've said this before in a previous podcast, psalms are meant to be sung So as you're singing about I and I and I and I, now God's people are singing, O Israel. They're addressing one another with song. They're addressing one another to say, hey, listen up. This is not just for me. This is for all of us. That as we are journeying together as pilgrims, what it looks like is for us to encourage one another to not be proud, to not think that you need to have it all together. Trust in the Lord. That's where you're going to find your solace.
Right.
And so I think going to the church, right, is an excellent move.
Which is a very New Testament, a very New Testament concept in Ephesians and maybe Colossians. I don't remember the verses specifically, but Paul, you just said it. Paul talks about encouraging and instructing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So the songs that we sing on Sunday, these psalms of ascent, they were not just singing to the Lord. They were not just worshiping or crying out or extolling the virtues of Yahweh. They were also teaching and, in a sense, discipling one another, as you just said.
Yeah, so, very true. I know this is a little far afield from where we are, but I feel like I should say it anyway. This is, okay, I'm going to step on some people's toes saying this.
Step on mine first, because I need it.
There is a tendency for people to describe, for example, singing in their car worship songs and calling that worship. And to an extent, it is worship, right? But, man, if that's all that worship is, if worship is merely or only a personal experience, then it can't make any sense of verse 3, right?
Right, the corporate
sense of verse 3. Right. And like what you just said, that this song is not just for David. It's for all Israel. It's for Israel to get, right? And I think that, I don't know if y'all listening to this have ever had this happen, or I encourage you this Sunday to think of it this way. When everybody's singing together, I want you to listen to the other voices that are going on. And as it's loud or you're hearing people say these words, you need to remember they're not just individuals who happen to be singing the same song that you are. They are singing to the Lord, and they're also singing to you to encourage you to believe the things that the words are saying.
Yeah, it is a worthy habit and practice to periodically on a Sunday morning, in the midst of singing, just stop. Just listen to the, be instructed by the, I do it probably once a Sunday.
Yep.
Just back off the mic. Or just sing back a little bit so I'm hearing less of me and more of my brothers and sisters, because I need instructed on Sunday mornings just like I do every other day of the week. Hoping in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, verse 3. Again, we talked about this when we talked about Psalm 123. That is only possible. We only have hope in Yahweh through Christ. Who is the gospel? Otherwise, we don't have. Otherwise, we're terrified of God.
Right.
But in Christ, we have relationship with Yahweh, our covenant making, covenant keeping, pursuing God from this time forth. I like how he ends it. From this time forth and forevermore. Start now.
And on into eternity.
Just keep going today. Start today.
Yeah.
It's a constant new encouragement.
Great.
Thanks. That's all I got.
Sounds great. Well, I'm going to pray for her to close
thank
this.
You.
And yep, we'll start. Lord God, thank you. Lord, that you are so good to us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to not lift our eyes and our hearts too high. Help us to be content in you, even though we don't have all the answers. And Lord God, I pray that you would help us to encourage one another. Lord, I pray, please, that our souls would be so fed upon you, Lord, that we would want no other. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you again for dropping your anchor with HarborCast. Please visit us on the web at harborchurch.org for more information about what we believe, what we do to serve our community, and how you can get involved in our mission here in Mooresville. And finally, follow HarborCast wherever you listen to podcasts. May the Lord continue to equip you to share the good news about Jesus.